on BBC London 94.9 FM. I'm Jamal Kerr-Fashler with you till 2 a.m. This is The Late Show. Delighted to welcome to the studio my first guests this evening, Lady Passion and Duvet, who are High Priestess and High Priest of the... Coven Odenwald. You see, we're already... You know, you'll need to correct me throughout this interview.
No problem.
Welcome to the studio. Now, Odenwald is based in Asheville in America.
Yes, in North Carolina.
In North Carolina. And you're near the Blue Ridge Mountains.
We're in them.
You're in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Yeah. I'm sure I might have driven past on my way somewhere.
It's in Appalachia.
Thank you very much for joining us in the studio. I know you're both here, over here. You've been over here for about a week and a half. What are you over here to do?
We're doing a book signing for our smash hit book, The Goodly Spell Book. Old Spells for Modern Problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 500 pages. It's full of ancient spells that we've worked and that our ancestors have worked to goodly fruition. And we want people to understand that there are easy things that they can do to help themselves, others, and the planet.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are lots of questions people will ask about the notion of witchcraft, about the notion of Wicca and its roots. So let's start at the beginning. How did... And first of all, what is the preferred term? Is it Wicca, witchcraft? What do you prefer? Now, obviously, in America, there may be a difference to the way we approach it and the way you approach it.
All of the above.
All of the above is all okay.
Male, female, or witches and Wiccans. Yeah.
And Wiccans, pagans, heathens, part of witchcraft, paganism. We're all of that.
We're all of that. Okay, yes. Fine. So we're clear about that. So I can use any of that terminology.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How did that start? Because... for many people, witchcraft is tied in. You said, you know, the word pagan is also used. Is that the beginning? Is that how it all started? Describe to me how witchcraft evolved.
It's older than time. It's the old religion, oldie with an E.
Uh-huh.
And it's the substrate, the basis of all modern religions is practice of magic, dancing around a fire to cast a spell for a goodly harvest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people have done magic to help themselves and communicate with the gods and goddesses since time immemorial. It's only recently that we've made a distinction and said one is good religion done by a few priests up in a building versus the other thing that the village elders do down there.
Sure. Tell me, why has it got such a bad reputation, though, Lady Passion?
Well, monotheism, actually.
Really?
One thought onlyism, one god onlyism, one monocultureism. Whenever you go mono, one-o, my god's the best god,
yeah,
the only god, you err.
But in a way, that's, and I hear what you're saying, but there are many religions, and not all of them get a bad rap. So why is it that witchcraft in particular gets a bad rap?
Well, because people that believe in one-way-onlyism always give the people that believe in diversity and see the diversity in nature and humanity and in the universe, the cosmos, they give them a bad rap because they want their god to be the one and only god.
But if you take Buddhism or Jainism, they have, you know, there are multi-layers to that. And yet they don't seem to have the same kind of challenges that witchcraft has.
Well, for instance, with Tibetan Buddhism, there's quite a bit in common with Wicca.
Very polytheistic.
It's all about applied spirituality. They call it skillful means. Mm-hmm. We call it spellcraft.
Right.
But it's still about the idea of not just praying and prostrating yourself before a god before whom you're helpless, but actually taking powers of the universe somewhat into your own hands and, you know, not... And, you know, you need to use them ethically, of course, and that's one thing that people don't understand about witches is we're far more ethical than most, frankly, most priests we know.
Is there, the reality is, and let's raise the issue of ethics, is the fact that the reason why witchcraft has such a bad rap is because lots of potential witches or people who have been involved in Wicca have not been ethical and therefore have used it to the detriment.
No, that's only propaganda.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's propaganda.
Are you telling me there are no bad witches?
No, but I am saying that the majority of the assumption, the propaganda over centuries, the killings, that is all a propaganda, a pogrom, if you will, by the monotheists to eliminate magical people.
Now, magic, granted, it's like any other tool. You can, like a knife, you can use it either as a surgeon to cure or as a murderer to kill. But frankly, most most, like most surgeons, most witches, you know, faced with that power are very profoundly moral about it, because it's going to snap right back on you if you use it for ill. In fact,
but
we
beyond
have a principle
that, I mean, most
that.
Witches are in the healing professions, for instance.
Really?
Yeah, something like 90%. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just, it comes natural to us to be healers rather than cursors slash killers, whatever you will.
But do you understand that that is people's perception?
Sure, oh, because of propaganda. And I think that the intensity of the propaganda over millennia certainly has taken their toll. That doesn't mean that it's right.
And yet, in this day and age, the 21st century, where we would probably say to you most people lead a predominantly secular life and therefore are not really hung up on monotheism, because they are actually saying, you know what, there's nothing out there at all.
Right.
And yet still Wicca has that
label. There's a second form of fundamentalism. It's not just religious. There's also scientific fundamentalism, which claims that we're nothing but chemicals and programmed responses. Nothing survives beyond the grave. And
just
that's
bags of DNA.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what they think.
And that's, you know, and whereas, you know, religious fundamentalists persecute magic, scientific fundamentalists sneer at it and ridicule it. And that's an even in a way more harsh form of persecution, and utterly wrong, because so much of modern science is proving that things, quantum physics, for instance, that far beyond the world of the test tube, there's much more to the universe.
What do you
And in
do?
Fact, not only that, but pharmaceuticals, big pharma, it would cease to be if it wasn't for the herbs of the craft that make medicines that people live on.
Is that what, I mean, if you were to distill it down to its finest point, you know, to continue the analogy you've just, you know, explored there, how would you define Wicca? What would you define it as?
A polytheistic nature religion. It's, or we also use the phrase applied spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
it's one thing to do a spell, but you also have to follow it up with a physical act.
Yeah,
you know, to balance it out, and it should be integrated into your everyday life. It shouldn't just be something that you do once a week.
Yeah,
it should be something you do every day as part of your life. Everything that you do should be magical, in the sense that we're all magical creatures. We're born that way. It's innate.
Mm-hmm. What is a spell, though? You see, because as soon as you say the word spell, I'm sitting there, the child in me, I was saying this earlier, you probably heard this, I'm going, the child in me going, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? And that is the reality. Many people listening to this program will be saying to you, oh, they're already talking about spells.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness me. You know, I mean, because I thought that notion of someone being able to cast a spell was, you know, ancient, decrepit.
Ancient.
Well, it is ancient, yes.
But not decrepit.
You know, so there you go. So,
okay,
so what is a spell?
Millions of people around the world casting spells at any given point. But that is no different than people saying, I wish this, I want that, I pray this, I do that. In a way, what makes it, if different it be, is that we go a little extra further. We have a little extra antiquity to go, we'll use this and this and this because we want this and we need this and the world needs this and our family needs this.
It's based on the art of correspondences, which is the idea that everything in the universe is interconnected, but interconnected in patterns, and you can understand those patterns and interact with them. So, for instance, a love spell, you may appeal to the goddess Venus. You may use flowers and green candles, because that's her color.
Mm-hmm.
Venusian scents in your spell.
Pink
quartz. Pink quartz. You'll use all these physical things to back it up.
And then what would you say? And you have all this stuff. You gather all this stuff.
And you do it on a Friday, and because that's the day of love. It's sacred to Venus.
And you say things that, and having stacked up all these different layers of correspondences, you then impress your will on it, your intention that, you know, you really need love. You really want love.
You're capable of giving love, capable of receiving love. Mm.
There are traditional ways of phrasing that are actually at the root of much of our much poetry.
Yeah. Mm. You see, you make it sound easy, and B, you make it sound so what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of, oh, well, you know, all of us can do this and there is nothing wrong with it.
Well, of course not. People have done this since before there was Christianity.
Uh-huh.
They've done this since before there was monotheism.
Yeah.
They've done this since time immemorial. Of course there's nothing wrong with it.
It's again, you know, it's a natural thing.
Yeah.
And it's the...
It was the first form
yeah.
of religion.
You see, this is what I think for people who aren't involved in this faith, and excuse me for keeping to delve into this,
yeah.
but
all right.
my job.
Yeah, yeah absolutely.
You know, and this is, and I am journeying with everybody else, is that because it's had such bad publicity,
yeah.
you talk to us about it being natural, mm. and yet if I said I was using homeopathy,
yeah.
no one would raise an eyebrow. If I say to someone I've got, you know, white witches coming in...
We're not white witches,
well, you're
we're
not,
just witches.
You're just witches, okay. What's the difference?
Well, it's a difference that other people make up.
It's what... I mean, Christians have made things white and black. You know, there was never such a distinction before.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, it's we don't even really quite understand what people mean by
but
it. I mean,
yeah,
other than race, perhaps. But no, frankly, it's...
Yeah, there's no such thing.
People imagine that there are witches going around cursing everybody
yeah.
and making life miserable. But that's just a... That's kind of a projection of people's
it is.
Worst
it's,
psychic fears,
it's
you know?
Monotheist thinking, man, if I had the power, this is what I'd do with it. So since you have the power, this is what you must be doing with it.
Tell me about ritual then. You've talked about, you know, pulling some stuff together and, you know, if, for instance, a love spell, you look at something, you know, you pull it together on Friday and, you know, you pull all the, you know, all
their
the
recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Their recipes. But are there rituals?
Yes.
Are there, and are you worshipping something in particular?
Well, first of all, the one key element of most of our rituals is something that's fundamental to all around the world. Every culture you go to, you find this in their magical and their religious traditions, and that's honoring the four directions, the four quarters.
Right.
You're marking out a sacred space and a sacred point in
East,
time.
East, south, west, north, of course.
And they're not just
but.
Letters on a compass dial. They have associations, they have meanings, you know, associated with different things. Secondly, We always invoke gods or goddesses
right.
that
and
are appropriate.
Absolutely,
to.
And there's so many of them.
Right.
They're like nature. They're diverse, and they are masculine, feminine, androgynous, hermaphroditic. It just depends on what they're good for,
mm-hmm.
what they're known for, and what you need them for, and how well you know them, and how well they know you.
So are they, are they gods and goddesses that would appear to you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Okay, so you can evoke, but
you can evoke them, you
mm-hmm.
can invoke them, you can see them. Sometimes you just feel them. Sometimes
uh-huh.
they just manifest in different ways.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they give you omens and portents and signs and signals and do things to help you. Absolutely.
Tell me about your own personal journeys into this. Because my guest in the studio, Lady Passion, a high priestess, and Duvet, who is a high priest. Your ordinary everyday names are Stephen and Dixie,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, Lady Passion, how you got involved in witchcraft.
I declared myself a witch at 13. I was in a fundamentalist Texas small town,
mm-hmm.
Very fundamentalist Baptist, very repressive. I was shunned for a year. But I knew inside. I'd been born psychic, and I just couldn't hide it anymore.
But why did you think that you had to declare yourself as a witch? This is what
I felt it.
Oh, you
and it turns out, you know, I was adopted.
Yeah.
And it turns out that I was right. When I was 22, I found my family, and my whole family are witches from Sicily. So, yeah, you know, I felt it. And a true witch can feel their own. They can
right.
feel it.
Right.
They can feel it. I was just very lucky that I didn't succumb, and I just called a spade a spade.
Oh, now that's interesting. When you say you didn't succumb, are you succumbed to a monotheistic religion?
Well, yeah, that's what they wanted me to do. I mean, they put their hands on me to try to exorcise me. They did many things to try to make me stop. They put dead rats in my locker. They
really?
Shunned me for a year. They wouldn't talk to me.
Who is they?
They, them. The students, the teachers, the adults in the
How
town.
Did you? What about your adoptive parents?
Them too. They were some of the biggest.
Really?
Yeah.
How
you
did
know
that
what?
Feel?
By the next year, you know, well, yeah, it was hard. But you know what? I kept my head up, my chin high, and you know what? By the next year, I kept telling myself, if I just don't succumb, if I don't give in, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. They'll know I'm legit, that I'm for real. They'll know. I knew they already knew anyway.
Yeah.
They were just freaked out that I'd said it. Said the words.
And you just said it. I mean, what was the circumstances that led to that? You just walked into the kitchen one day and went,
no,
I'm a witch?
I was on the playground, basically,
yeah.
You know, in middle school. And some girls came to me and said, are you or aren't you?
They just asked you?
Yes.
Why would they ask you that?
Well, you... I had started a coven of the superintendent's girl child and the principal's girl child. And we had done some stuff and it had really worked.
What kind of stuff?
It freaked them out.
Yeah, but what kind of stuff?
Candle magic, Ouija, lots of things, lots of stuff. Working with some spirit stuff.
And yeah. That was at the age of 12 or 13?
13.
And so then someone came to the school, so your classmates then came up to you and said...
Are you or aren't you?
Are you or aren't you a witch?
Yeah. And I'm like, yes, I am.
And you said, yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
And that wasn't you being, I mean, at 13, we're, you know, adolescent. That wasn't you being rebellious.
No, not at all. That was the worst thing.
Oh, really?
Ever. Yeah. But no, I had to be honest because I had been a witch for a while before then. But it was the first time I was really pressed to it.
Yeah.
Ever really asked. And as a witch, you can't lie. So I couldn't lie then. Can't lie now.
And what was the... I'm just curious about this. This is a journey that...
But the thing is, the next year, the adults were coming to me, the teachers were coming
to
me, and they never stopped.
Coming to you for what?
Everything. Everything. Counseling, help, healing, you name it. Divination, fortune telling, you name it. They came and they never stopped.
And they would, presumably if it was a small Texas town, maybe the people who would have been the churchgoers on the Sunday
they
and
were
then...
the very one. They had been shunning me the year before. No
really?
Kidding. Yeah. 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 Every single one of them.
Wow. Well, listen, we're going to come on to DeVay's story in just a moment. Let's go to the phone lines. Mm-hmm. Vicky's in Dartford. Good evening, Vicky.
Hi, gang. Hi.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We've obviously got Lady Passion and DeVay in the studio with us. Do you have a question for them?
Yes and no. Well, yes, in the sense that when I was at university, I met this guy who was a white witch. This was up in Northamptonshire, kind of Leicestershire border, and basically he belonged to this witch's coven, and I believe they were quite big there, and he said, and this is not tongue-in-cheek, this is deadly true, that he had to leave the coven because all these female witches were demanding too much sex from him.
What?
No, it's a deadly truth. Now, he was quite, you know, he was quite... well, I mean, I never had sex with him, but he was quite a virile man, right, should I put it that way.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm back in Kent, yeah?
Yeah.
I grew up. And, of course, we've got All Hallows down the road, yeah?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Famous, infamous, yeah?
Yeah.
But witches around here. Now, going back into historically, they were just talking about the historicism of witches. And back in the 15th, 14th, and latter centuries, they believed that all midwives were witches, yeah? And
mm-hmm.
to do with the potions and stuff
that's
like that.
True.
But also, the other thing was that they would blame old women who were a burden on the family because they were eating and just no good, yeah, to the family. They would blame them of being witches,
that
yeah?
That's also true.
Escapism. And also, yeah, so they were burdened, but also about the higher powers. Yeah, everybody seeks, whether it's God, religion, a bottle of vodka, you know, or a cannabis joint, everybody's seeking some kind of escapism or higher power.
Okay, so what point are you making tonight, Vicky?
Well, I'm talking about historicism, but
sure.
Also the difference between black witches and white witches.
Okay, well, my guests in the studio have already said that they don't believe in those terms.
No, I know, but I'm interested in this. And one of the things is... the black, obviously, is to do allegiance with the devil, yeah? And white is allegiance to do with Jesus, I would assume.
Okay. Well, let's get them to clarify that, Vicky, because that's an interesting
question.
Okay,
I would like to talk to them, so, yeah, go on.
Okay, let's get them to clarify that. So, you've already said, Lady Passion and DeVay, that, look, you know, there's no such thing as a white or a black witch.
No, there isn't.
But, you know, I mean, and I don't know, and I also have to bear in mind that... that the translation, sometimes we have, you know, the difference between how America would use language and how we would use language.
No, we have the same phenomenon in the States.
Right.
There
okay.
are people who do believe that. This comes from Christian theology.
We don't believe in Satan. In fact, the whole figure of Satan, as we point out in the Goodly Spellbook, in the history section of it, the whole figure of Satan with his horns and his tail and his hooves was ripped off from the god Pan or Hermes, who was very popular and very goodly deity in ancient times. But because he was a chief rival to the new Christian cult, they painted their devil as looking like the pagan god. So that, you know, kind of like saying, oh, that's what the Russians do. The Americans won't do that, you know.
Wackies or whatever. Whatever is the enemy du jour.
Sure. Do you believe, though, okay, you may not believe in Satan, but do you believe in evil?
Well, yes.
We do believe there are bad things in the world. That doesn't mean that there are good witches and bad witches. We do believe there are bad forces.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even powers, if you will. But that has to do with things like jealousy, murder, things
absolute
like
power corrupting absolutely.
Absolute power. Things like, you know, lust and it's
Washington, D.C.
Yeah, politics is decrepit and corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some bad things.
Evil's a choice that people make in their hearts. Yeah, we believe that everybody makes a choice.
But you know, you talked about power, and the reality is this. Vicky, thank you very much for your call. You can call us on 020-722-42000. That's 020-722-42000. Or you can text us on 0778-6200-949. The reality is power, in whatever form, whether it is political or religious, can sometimes lead to acts of evil or acts, you know, etc.
Yeah.
Now, here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
You as witches say, you can cast spells, you can do this, you can do that.
Yeah.
And people would come to you and say, these are my needs.
Mm-hmm.
That therefore gives you, quote unquote, power.
Mm-hmm.
And it obviously it's down to you, the individual, what you do with that power. But surely out of that, it could be part of the reason why Wicca has had such a bad rap.
I don't think so. I think it's because people don't appreciate the needs of people. There are people at the top who are always looking down on the people on the bottom, and they don't give them much help. So it depends on the people to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
There are people within those people, broad spectrums of the masses, special people who have abilities to help the rest. And the rest of the people come to those people, the people on the bottom, but yet they have abilities, wisdom. Powers that can help them where the higher ups never do.
Now, an egotist, somebody who isn't really pious in their hearts, you know, can take
they
that power
and use it.
Become a charismatic
they
cult
could.
Leader, and we've seen people do that, but they sooner or later get tripped up in their own snares. That's
right.
Why we really emphasize that there are higher, greater powers that you have to work hand in glove with.
Yeah. We've got lots of text coming in as well.
Oh, good.
0778-6200-949. Someone says, hi, I sneeze about 15 times, one after another, and my partner claims that I'm a witch. This is the text, and would have been burnt at the stake at a certain time in history, in the nicest way possible. Obviously, her partner, you know, at the same time doesn't believe that.
Right.
Is there any truth in this?
There are a lot of little things like that are old witch signs. She has crossed eyes. I was born with a caul over my head.
What?
A caul. It's called C-A-U-L. It's like a sheath, like a hood.
Oh, right.
And traditionally, anybody born that way was destined to become a witch, and because it seems to correlate with some kind of magical or psychic
power. A third teeth. Lots of men have that.
Yeah.
There are several witch signs, and some of them are astrological as well. And sometimes if you're known for doing certain things, like sneezing 15 times in a row, that would have, in antiquity, probably been considered a witch sign.
But would it be considered a witch sign nowadays?
Depends.
Very well be.
Have to meet him.
Meet her.
Her, yeah.
Because Nina might be
very
sitting
well
there.
Be.
She's sitting there now going, oh my gosh, you know, am I not?
Holding her nose so she won't sneeze.
So she won't sneeze again.
I would say, Nina, if you're worried about being a witch, don't be. It's a good thing.
Right, okay. Is it full of persecution?
It can
very
be.
Much so.
It depends where you come from.
We've had to fight very hard against that in America, which is, let me tell you, America's in danger of becoming a Christian theocracy right now.
But isn't it already?
In danger?
Well, isn't it already? Yeah.
I mean, I thought
Oh, man. He's always erring on the side of caution. Hello, let's just say the F word. It's fascist.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, that's quite a strong opinion.
Yes. Well, but definitely it's right now fundamentalism's on the ascendancy. And yet
but
in reaction to that.
Yeah.
Is a massive interest in Wicca and paganism.
It is. It's the second largest religion in the United States right now.
Studies are showing, yeah. It's
okay. Well, listen, we're going to come back with my guest. We've got to go to the news and travel, but you can call us on 020-722-4200. 020-722-4200. It's all right. They're nice people. 020-722-4200 or text us on 0778-6200-949. When we come back, we'll be talking to Lady Passion and Duvet, high priest and priestess of the Coven, thank you, Old and Wild in Asheville, which is in America. So give us a call now or text us on 0778-6200-949. Right now, it's time for the travel and weather with Steve Phillips.
Thanks, Jim. Okay, starting off with the weather then. A dry night tonight, clear spells as well. The winds will...
24 hours a day.
On TV, on radio, online.
This is BBC London. This is BBC London 94.9.
London's radio station.
Jamoke Fashola on BBC London 94.9.
Welcome to the second hour of The Late Show here on BBC London 94.9 FM. I'm Jamoke Fashola. I'm with you till 2 a.m. In the studio with me, we have Lady Passion, High Priestess, and Duvet High Priest, both of them self-proclaimed witches, so y'all need to, just be cool. It's fine. We're having an open, candid conversation about what that actually means in the 21st century, and you can ask them anything you want, 020-722-4200. That's 020-722-4200, or you can text us on 07786-200-949. Still to come in the programme, we'll be talking to Malcolm Gaskell, who's written several books about the history of witchcraft, and he'll be giving us an insight into that. And certainly his experience or his taking a look at the 16th, 17th century and why there were witch hunts in the UK will prove fascinating conversation as well. And later on in the program, we'll be talking to John Azza, who is an expert on African rituals. He was in a Panorama special on exorcism and went undercover to basically look at the world of witch doctors in African rituals. So that's to come here on BBC London 94.9 FM. So 0207224200. That's 0207224200. Or text us on 07786200949. Right, let's go back to my guest in the studio. I was just conscious that we got Lady Passion's story, but let's turn to Duvet. Just tell me your story. How did you get into witchcraft?
Well, you could say I came to it through a kind of a reverse academic path.
Oh, right.
I was majoring in music at Princeton University, and I was fascinated by early music, old music. And in early times, the modes, different forms of scales were considered to have magical effects on people. And actually musicians constantly use this without being aware of it, but like in the blues scale and so forth. But at any rate, I just soon discovered that
like
this
in the blues scale.
Well, yeah, there's a
really.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I sing blues. I'm thinking in my head, what scale you got going on?
It's an Aeolian pentatonic, but that's the technical term.
That just kind of went over my
well,
head.
Well, exactly. That's the problem with the way music is taught there. So I kind of went off on my own path and discovered that in olden times, in the Renaissance, right before the witch burnings, there was quite a lot of interest in how music connected with astrology, connected with geometry and mathematics, and how everything actually interconnected together in kind of patterns that the Greeks studied, that the Hindus studied. In African magic, it's the same thing. Everybody talks about these correspondences But of course, nowadays, since the witch burnings, it's been absolutely suppressed, and even scientists don't allow them to talk about this really in a very serious way.
Well, magic gave birth to science, and, you know, people don't understand that. They think science was before magic or whatever, but no, it was magic, and then when the magicians of the 16th century became alchemists, solely mm-hmm. so they wouldn't be burnt at the stake.
Yeah.
Therefore,
alchemists became chemists, yes.
Alchemists became scientists, quote unquote.
Mm.
So, yeah, and in fact, you know, it amazes me to this day. I mean, we haven't heard the term self-proclaimed witches in like a decade.
And what would you define as a self-proclaimed witch?
Someone well, we're not self-proclaimed. We are witches.
Right.
We're not self-proclaimed.
Yeah. I mean, we've got... let's continue with your story.
Well, I became a professional astrologer but I still found that so many people were caught up with, you know, New Age. Oh, I'm creating my own reality, mm-hmm. and all I care about is getting rich.
Oh, goodness me. Such a thing as cynical witches as well.
Hey, well, I got that way growing up in California.
yeah,
San Francisco Bay Area,
yeah.
Right. Meanwhile, Silicon Valley, where I actually lived, was so caught up in this, scientific fundamentalism, where nothing's real except what's hard and, profitable. And so I essentially finally found real witches in Berkeley, of all places. Imagine that.
Oh, really? Were you studying there, or is this where you were living?
I was actually up there. I was doing a lot of research in the library about historical cycles and how they connect with astrological cycles. And, for instance, how, the way that what's going to follow this current industrial age as it collapses. And I discovered that actually in the past, these cycles have been shown people that are repressed, mm-hmm. the underclass kind of comes up, and in one of those in this culture is witches.
So how did you find, you know, because Lady Passion has been describing to us that you knew when you were a child, what you're describing to us is an evolving...
It was more of an admitting.
Oh, it was an admitting? Okay.
Recognizing and saying, it's okay, I can get past that male intellectual, it can't be, and finally admit, yeah, I can have psychic dreams.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Foretelling dreams, yeah, and I can experience
I suppose
deities.
Because many people would say that witches are, well, most people think that witches are female.
Right.
Right, it's a misconception. It's, which
witches
goes back...
Witches.
In a lot of ways, women tend to be more, it's easier for them to be psychic than men.
Right.
Partly that's cultural, partly might be something else. But no, witches are male. Yeah. Witches are men and women. Yeah, and in fact, in the in the Renaissance, that's who you hear of is the men, the John Dees and the Agrippas and so forth.
Yeah, but it was the women of the Renaissance that were burnt.
Well, mostly, yeah.
I mean, Jerry just pointed out, is a male witch a warlock?
No.
What's
a
warlock?
It's actually an old Scottish term for witch, but a lot of people nowadays think it means an oath breaker, so they use it. They say that it means someone who breaks their oaths of secrecy, but in reality, just no one uses the term except people who wonder if they should use the term.
Right,
so.
Right, okay. Yeah. And have you ever, you talk about spells and the fact that, you know, you do all these things, or you can do all these things. Have you ever used a spell for not good, i.e. for bad?
Depends
well,
on what you mean by that.
Oh,
yeah.
See, we get into that murky world of what is good
well,
and what
exactly.
is bad.
Well, exactly.
It does, doesn't it?
I once accidentally blew up a government chemical dump.
You did?
Well, it was not intentional. I was just trying to draw attention to the fact that they were storing secret chemicals there and using them on people. This was in California back in the 1980s.
Uh-huh.
There was and I'll probably get in huge trouble for talking about this on the air, but
we're
already put my
UK.
Foot in it. Well, the government was spraying what they claimed was agricultural chemicals on people in Silicon Valley where I lived. I happened to be walking every day by the place. They called it malathion. I happened to be walking by the place every day and seeing that there were all kinds of other chemicals, many of them unlabeled, and they were having all kinds of other effects on things and people around it. So I basically did a rudimentary spell. This is purely instinctive. I wasn't had any training, didn't know what I was doing at the time. And sure enough, after I'd done what I later understood was a spell, my sister called out from another room, Steve, there's a big pillar of smoke out there. What do you think's going on? Uh-oh.
Oh, you thought, and really, you think, you're convinced that your spell created that?
Well, of course.
Well, it was immediate timing. I mean, the very thing that I'd used was a silver hoop with a little blue turquoise in it. And the newspaper article the next day said that what had happened was, a worker was filling a tank, and it was a, you know, round tank opening, and he said a huge blue spark jumped across it and set the thing on fire, and he had to jump off.
That goes back to that notion of and obviously that for you is exactly what happened, but it goes back to that notion of power. If that is, you know, you come back to that idea that, oh my gosh, there is, if you believe in this, there is something very powerful.
Absolutely. And what I learned from that is that you've got to take responsibility for that power. You can't just, you know, go off doing things like that and then not, you know, I mean, people could have gotten hurt, you know. And so all I was trying to do is draw attention to it. Well, there was a big pillar of black smoke pointing right at it, but, you know, I didn't follow up with, you know, contacting the media and saying, hey, look at, why wouldn't the government tell the firefighters what chemicals they were trying to put out? You know?
Lady Passion, I mentioned earlier on, you know, have you ever done a spell for good or for bad? And then you said, well, you need to qualify.
Depends on what you mean by that.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Many a witch would say that there are bad things that happen to good people. I mean, what is acceptable? Rape, pillage, land rape, murder? I mean, if we're talking about a religion of the masses, a religion that helps the masses when others won't help them, not the government, not anything else, then sometimes you become aware of injustices. And that is what many witches think that the majority of the gods and the craft is the best for. Injustices.
So to do a spell to bind somebody
prevent
who's
further
murdering.
Harm.
Exactly.
But you wouldn't sit there. I mean, I don't know. If you met people or someone came up to you and said, I've got this person in my life who is causing me harm, whatever that their definition of harm might be, could you create a spell to prevent them from doing me harm? Would you do that?
Yeah, take that on a case-by-case basis.
But how do you know?
They'd have to convince us.
Well, or we'd point them to our book.
Yes.
Which
teach them how to do it or whatever.
So in your book, Goodly Spells, you've got...
Hundreds of spells for you, for whatever you
to
have.
To use... Mm-hmm. But don't you think that's rather dangerous? I mean, you've just given us an example.
Two-thirds of teaching you how it works.
And how it works and the ethics behind it.
Yep.
And the
but most people won't read that, you know.
Yep,
most people will go, I'll go to the back.
They will.
No, we work it into
every aspect of it.
It's not just something we section off in a little chapter and say, well,
even
got the ethics
spell,
out of the
we
way.
Even in the spell, explain, here's the goddesses and why you invoke them. This is why this time, everything, even in the spell, it's all backed up with a magical theory.
Right.
And the rationale and the timing, the best timing and why. And so, yeah.
Some text coming in. Paul says, I am 14. I've been a witch since I was 12. I am the leader of a gay teen Wiccan coven. My mum and dad are very bigoted and hate witchcraft. My boyfriend Frank has the same problem. What do I do?
Very good question.
It sounds exactly like so many teens that we work with.
Yeah.
What's the answer?
Ditch your boyfriend.
Why is he ditching the boyfriend?
Well, because we've never known somebody that's pagani to be with somebody that's non-pagani.
Oh, no, but he says that my boyfriend has... Sorry.
That would work out. He has the same problem.
I mean, we're assuming. I thought he said that my boyfriend Frank has the same problem, i.e. they were both involved in the same Wiccan coven.
If they're both Wiccans, that's fine. That's great. But if he's not Wiccan, ditch the person that's non-Wiccan because it just doesn't work out. Unfortunately, they just don't appreciate paganism. They don't appreciate magic much. And they can be pretty persecutory and make you feel bad. There's no reason for that.
And with their parents, we'd advise people, hey, you're gonna get older and you're going to be able to leave home. In the meantime, just read books.
Practice natural magic.
You don't think there could be any cross-fertilization between someone who is a Wiccan follower or a witch and someone who isn't?
No, it's not that. It's just that in our practice, if you've tried already and they're resistive, they tend to continue to be so.
It's one thing to be tolerant. It's another thing to be hostile.
Okay. Yeah. What is the scariest thing for you about witchcraft?
Christians.
Yeah.
No, that's not about witchcraft.
Well, seriously, having rocks thrown through our windows, the persecution we undertake, that literally is the scariest thing for me.
Go on.
If you're talking about magic,
it's easy.
I'm always a little interesting.
It could be spooky, but that's not nearly as scary as ordinary mortal people.
We've had, she's been possessed by a ghost, you know. And,
you've been possessed by a ghost?
Oh, yeah.
She does a lot of ghost busting, and she's had the, you know, experience.
You believe that ghosts exist?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm called in all the time to the ghost houses.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And what are ghosts? I mean, I've asked this question before on this program. What for you are ghosts?
Well, there are many kinds. There are elementals that pre-exist humans, and they're like air, earth, fire, water. They just are that element. And then there are ghosts, human kind of ghosts, angry, hungry souls, unhappy. Souls.
What happens to us in your religion when we die?
Well, we believe in reincarnation, that the spirit lives on and often takes a new form as a human being or maybe somewhere someplace else. But witches also, many of us believe there's a place called the Summerlands that we go to rest between incarnations.
Right.
And I guess it's the paganic kind of heaven.
Yeah.
You know, it's like real nature, beautiful stuff, and you can exist with your coven or people that you've known before, that sort of thing. But no pearly gates, no streets paved in gold, more like the woods or nice rolling English hillside.
I mean, currently here in the UK, Cormac Murphy O'Connor, who is the head of the Catholic Church here in the UK, is asking for a review of the abortion laws.
Mm.
And I remember vaguely something on your website about your take on abortion. You say that it's not... well, I don't know what your take on abortion is, but the notion of reincarnation means that if one fetus isn't available, you can always go to another.
Yeah.
So in terms of abortion, what is the position for Wiccans?
Wiccans do think that all life is sacred. Having said that, we also believe in the female's right to choose and have control of her own body. And we also believe that the fetus has its own destiny and its own rights and whatnot. And yet, in general, we are pro-choice. In favor of the female, and we do believe that if worse comes to worse, whether it's spontaneous abortion, as in just something medical that happens and it just happens, or whether it's a female's choice, that the soul will not go wasted, that the soul will reincarnate.
Do you believe the female can make that choice at any point in the pregnancy?
Well, there are medical, you know,
considerations.
The longer
you go,
certainly
the more dangerous.
Yeah.
But I do believe that in general, that should be, yes.
And we, you know, as you mentioned earlier, witches have always been midwives.
Yes.
And always had the ability to, to induce abortions as well as, the Scarborough Fair in our book?
Yeah.
Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Yes, exactly. As well as
what
to
does that
create
mean?
Pregnancy. Now, see, we're
That's
not just
old...
about abortion. We're also able to create, the barren fertile.
So if someone comes to you and says they're infertile,
you make them fertile.
That's not even a, we may be able to help.
No, we do.
You make them fertile.
It's
not through drugs or anything.
That's a very absolute statement.
No,
it's an observation.
we've
found
it many times.
Found some surefire ways, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. One of them is our annual Imbolc, right?
At, what's that?
That's Groundhog Day, February 2nd.
Yeah.
And we've found that whoever plays the maiden in that rite invariably with child. Well, longer a maiden, let's say, after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's and it.
Well, sorry, I've just my brain has just suddenly gone off on a tangent.
No,
no, well,
it's
you
not
can
like
come
that.
By.
No,
really, thank you for
the
offer.
Fire at a certain time, and that's all. It's nothing internally taken. It's nothing physically done.
It's
in
just
that
magic.
Respect, no, it's magical. Absolutely a magical ritual.
But it's tied up with the seasonal rite and the meaning of that rite,
yeah.
You know. But again, you know, this is something we've observed. It's not something we're saying, we just believe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's empirical.
Stuff we do. You're in, you're out.
Okay. Another text message in from Keith in Watford says, Lady Passion and Duvet, I think I'm the victim of a curse placed on me in a fit of, well, a fit of anger or whatever, due to something I did years ago. Any practical tips?
Yes. I wish I would know more detail.
Okay.
Then I could tell you completely exactly what you should do. Like, was it male or female, or when was it, and how many years ago, and what were the circumstances? But in general, there are things that you can do to get rid of a curse. I would encourage you to take a dill bath. Get some dill from a grocery store.
Yeah.
Dill spice, and take a bath in it.
So to go, then this is dill as in D-I-L-L.
D-I-L-L.
That's right.
And take a dill
bath. Take a dill bath.
And
it's the simplest, quickest, easiest thing. To get rid of cursing.
I once had a conversation with someone who said that a curse can only be put on you by a member of your family. That it can't be from further afield.
Untrue. Untrue.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely untrue. Now, your family can put the worst curse on you in a way.
Right.
Because they're so close. But your friends, your coworkers, your bosses, people you meet on the street, people you pass by in the traffic. Man, they can put the evil eye on you. They can mean you ill even if you did nothing. It's unfortunate, but true.
If someone says to you, despite the hour that we've had this conversation, that witchcraft is bunkum, how would you respond?
Read our book.
And beyond that,
apart from the plan.
I would say that beyond that, we come from the county of bunkum, so we know bunkum, and that ain't it.
But why do you think more people aren't, sort of like...
Because they're repressed, and they don't even know
it. So is it because people are not free-spirited?
No, they are repressed. They are suppressed. They are oppressed.
It's because the culture represses it, If it's not the religion... Like I say, if it's not religion saying if it's not in the Bible, it must be evil, it's science saying, well, if it's not in a... If it doesn't work in a test tube, it can't work at all.
Even though it does.
Even though it actually...
works on quantum physics levels.
They have an actual... are not all scientists, but many have an outright hostility to magic that's no different from...
Well, they have a hostility to religion.
Well, that's it. It's fundamentally that, yeah.
Just they can't... I mean, then that's the reality. So you're in a good camp on the one hand, aren't
right.
you? Although, on the other hand, you probably don't want to be camped with...
Well, we have
religious
so much
groups.
In common with both,
yeah,
so
we
we're caught in the middle. You know?
Right. Right. Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's fascinating, and it's fascinating talking to both of you. Thank you so much for coming in. I know it's been a very busy schedule today,
and you've had lots
of signings. It's been fantastic talking to you. Lady Passion, High Priestess, and Duvet, High Priest, in talking about witchcraft and Wicca, and I think that's clarified some of the things that we didn't know about, which was something I didn't know about, witchcraft or Wicca. You can call us on 020-722-42000. That's 020-722-42000. Or you can text us on 07-786-200-949. I just have to ask you this question, comes in from John the Cabbie.
Yes.
Can your witches help England win the World Cup?
Well, I understand that you just had a draw, eh?
Yeah, well, yes, we just had a draw yesterday. This is true. But this is like, if you can do this,
right.
You might convert lots
Convince
of people.
A lot of people.
To
okay. So who are you playing next?
Oh, gosh. Who are we playing next? We're playing Ecuador. We're playing Ecuador next.
Ecuador?
Yes.
When?
Sunday at 4:00. Thank goodness we've got
Sunday.
Jamie.
Okay. Wow. See, that's double tough. Because Ecuador is a southern country, very hot. And then it's a Sunday, which is sun, solar.
Yeah.
So that's in their favor, not England's.
Oh, gosh. You know what? All the England fans are going to be
destroyed.
Okay.
But it's true. I mean,
right,
you know,
it's in their favor.
Magical correspondences-wise. Diva, what would you suggest?
Well, let me put it this way. We've inherited stories of witches in our tradition who stopped Hitler's invasion.
That is true. So anything's possible.
Many of which I'm sure that a football fan is working very hard to make sure that, despite it being a cross of St. George, I think it's the sacred symbol for them.
Well, in fact, we just came from a signing where several of the witches there said they were working.
They were doing the business.
On it.
You see, that didn't work for Togo. They had their voodoo people out, and they still lost, and I was rooting for them. So I'm not convinced that this is going
to
work.
You don't have to be.
It's not surefire in these cases. It's just sports.
We're not sports fans.
So you don't care. Do you realize that the whole of England is seated waiting for England to win?
No, we do, actually, because we've been traveling here almost a month, but we definitely
You know
do.
What? The phone lines have now gone crazy. Everybody's calling in now going, oh, we must win on Sunday.
Okay, trust me. We'll work on it. I promise.
You better work on
it. You bet I will.
I think people will take anything they can get.
Well, use the golden lion. It's a symbol of the sun.
Use the golden lion.
Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us in this video. It's been great to meet you. That's Lady Passion and Duve. You take care. 0207-224-2000. That's 0207-224-2000. Or you can text us on 0778-6200-949. Let's have your thoughts and conversations with you today about your thoughts about witchcraft and exactly what it means to you, etc. So call us 0207-224-2000. Text us on 0778-6200-949. And of course, you can email me directly. That is jumokhe.fashola@bbc.co.uk. So that's JUMOKE. FASHOLA@bbc.co.uk with calls, comments, opinions, etc. Get them in. It's been fascinating. Right.